RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR. And I reckon after all this time with Stephen Sykes every Tuesday, I think that we are probably the best informed audience re-tech in the radio land of New Zealand. What do you reckon, Stephen?
Thank you very much. I could say I agree with you, but I might seem biased.
What would Kit say?
Oh, well, he'd say probably, why isn't he running the show? Because then it would be good.
I'm looking forward to him dropping in again sometime. All right, a whole lot of things to get to. Feedback, techie news, and more about routers later on. First up, though, what did you think of Elon's rocket section landing back on the chopsticks on the pad? What do you think of that? What did you make of that?
That was brilliant. That's a case of, to me, it's like, let's just do this. Let's just get on with it and make things happen.
Such a, very sophisticated engineering project that works, but such a simple concept.
It is. It's almost like if you've ever watched the very first Karate Kid movie, you see Mr. Miyagi trying to catch a fly with chopsticks.
Right. They should play the two together, side by side. See how they track. All right. Let's start, as always, with people who've been in touch. Who's asking or saying what, Stephen?
So a couple of people actually talked about, we glossed over Coca-Cola. So a couple of people have mentioned about fluorescent nanotechnology in Coke and Pepsi products and have one
person like in the drink.
Yep. So one person wrote that, I wonder if these so-called extra things can be added to Coca-Cola products. I've seen what appears to be a fully legitimate clip where an actual scientist examines contents of Red Bull energy drink. The scientist opens the can to show contents have not actually been contaminated with and places a drop or two on a freshly cleaned microscope glass slide. When visualized under a microscope, there were little moving things. Parasites or so, which have been found in the C19 jab, and others, just a thought. And one person actually gave a reference to PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, an article titled Fluorescent Nanoparticles Present in Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola, Physicochemical Properties, Cytotoxicity, Biodistribution and Digestion Studies, which is a long-winded way of saying don't drink it.
So what's that in there for, do you think?
Well, if you didn't take the marvelous medicine, here's an alternate way to get it in your body.
Crikey. Okay. Fascinating. Thank you, whoever sent that in. All right. What else?
So somebody has asked, when Stephen talks about a de-Googled phone, how does this work for an Apple phone? So basically you shift ecosystems. So instead of being in the Apple ecosystem, you're in the Android ecosystem. So Apple-specific apps that you might use are different in the Android environment. And as I've said a few times, the term de-Googled is a bit misleading because Android actually is a Google operating system, but what the term actually means is that the Google services that phone home to Google, such as Google Maps, Gmail, and all the other stuff, aren't there. And instead, you use alternate software products, which are typically free open source, to do the job in the same way and take its place of the versions that are sitting on your shoulder watching what you do.
Okay, good answer. Next.
Okay, so the last item of feedback is that somebody has asked about saying, I have a question. I think you said Firefox is one of the good browsers. I have it on my laptop, but when I go to search for something, it brings up the Google search bar. This puzzles me. I have Brave on my phone, which doesn't bring up the Google search bar, but I can't find it to download to my computer. So the reason this is happening is that Firefox, by default, offers Google search when you search for something, because Mozilla, who make Firefox, don't have a search engine of their own. unlike the Brave web browser, they do. They make a search service as well, which is why it's there by default. But if you go to search.brave.com/default in your browser, no matter what browser you're using, you can follow the instructions there and it will tell you how to make Brave Search your default search engine.
Gotcha. Again, well answered. Thank you for writing in, folks. 2057 if you want to text, inbox@realitycheck.radio if you want to email. Now, we were talking about camera policies in particular supermarkets, what premises, area, car park inside, wherever. So we've heard more on that, have we?
Yeah, so somebody sent in a photograph that they took at a Woolworths. It was right by the door, big sort of banner. It was a customer notice saying, "We're currently using camera technology at our checkouts. The technology records you and your transaction, detecting when items aren't scanned correctly. We're using this technology to help improve the accuracy of the checkout process and is a stock loss prevention tool," which is a fancy way of saying guilty until proven innocent. And the notice goes on to say, "For more information about how Woolworths manages personal information, our use of service providers, et cetera, et cetera." And then there's a URL to the website that you can go and look at. So I recall a while ago now, one of our listeners actually making a comment that Woolworths were doing this.
And well, they got stopped, didn't they, or something?
Well,
I can't remember.
A fairly recent photograph that I was sent. So
okay,
this is what
my impression is that we found out about that months ago.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Somebody had sent in something a while ago about that Countdown were doing that at checkouts.
If people are ripping off or got some way of gaming, these are not the checkouts with the humans, right? These are the self-checkouts.
It doesn't say. But that's probably
it'll be the self-checkouts.
Yeah.
Because now they're saying out loud, "Transaction accepted." Presumably. Yes. Because it hasn't happened yet, it says out loud as well, "Transaction declined." So first of all, there's a potential humiliation in front of everyone because it's clearly audible. But that's obviously to tell whoever's in the area, the operator, the overseer, that no one's, or at least the transaction happened and the money's gone through and they're not walking out with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair enough. Maybe cameras, but I don't even like the voiceover coming over. You know, don't know. Maybe people have an opinion on that. They can text or email it in and we can read it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Sorry, I was kind of jumped over you there.
All good.
Yeah. Okay, so they're all doing it basically now?
Yeah, they are. Yep.
And this is the new normal?
Yep. And, of course, there's the automatic number plate readers that they have in the car parks too, so they know when you've been parking there for too long or the fact that you've turned up at all.
After a while, depending on what, because people are in these loyalty schemes, right?
Yeah.
Supermarkets. Now, that records your purchasing data, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you can render out from that the sort of food types, groups, stuff that individual buys on a consistent basis, average it out, know when they're turning up, offer them a good deal on the bars of chocolate, you know, because the number plate recognition sees that they're in the car park. The facial recognition sees them going through the door. The AI sees them going to the predictable places. You can see how it all kind of networks together.
Yeah, and you know, with all that technology there, you've still got to get your groceries off the shelf yourself. If you can see me coming, you should have it ready for me.
They'll do that too.
Well,
eventually,
I mean,
you watch. There won't be anyone stacking the shelves. It'll be robotic things.
Well, I mean, yes, you can order groceries online already and have been able to for ages now, but if you don't want to leave your home.
Yeah, that's a bit slothful, isn't it?
It feels that way.
Sitting there, you know, on the couch, delivery trucks, continuous stream of delivery trucks and food, you know.
Or drones for that matter.
Yeah, piling on the hundreds of kilos. Definitely over the line of type 2 diabetes, heading for something else. All right, Harvard students and smart glasses. Oh, this sounds interesting.
Interesting. I'll substitute that with kind of terrifying.
Not again.
Very concerning. So a couple of Harvard students have developed a program using Ray-Ban's Meta smart glasses, which the thick-rimmed glasses, which looks like something Clark Kent might wear before becoming Superman. So they have a built-in camera, and they've been able to use this to identify an individual and obtain personal access and information about them. So the footage they revealed, they walk around the smart glasses, see taken a video feed, and then they've written some software to identify faces. And then with that face, they've written software and using artificial intelligence to scour the internet for matches of that face. And then they're able to look up publicly available information, such as voter registration databases, online articles, et cetera, et cetera. They're able to get their name, their phone number, the home address, and names of relatives. They call it the eye X-ray.
Wow.
And in the video footage that they released, they went up to strangers waiting on the subway and identified them, told them information, and then they could use that to for social engineering purposes. And they go,
"Hey, of course,
didn't I go to college, this particular college, with you?" And then like,
did you know so and so?
Yeah, you were in the chess club too, weren't you?
Oh man. This is now going down even deeper into a rabbit hole, because there's all AI and all of that. But that sort of information is so powerful.
Yes, and Meta sort of downplay it to say, well, you know, this already exists with photographs that are online, but to do it kind of in near real time, just to walk around, I mean, it's a stalker's wet dream is what it really is.
Oh, man. That's the code, next level.
The code they've written for this, they're not releasing, because their intention with building this was to say, well, this is a dangerous technology here. So look at the damage that you can do with this.
Imagine what you could do on the battlefield with something like that. Because you could literally identify in close combat. What do I know about this? Nothing. But, you know, where it's confusing as to who is who, friend or foe, you know.
Yes.
You could identify, well, that's a Slavic face, bang, you know.
But, of course, that falls apart when you weren't born into that country, but you are now a citizen or resident of that country.
That's just the bycatch, the collateral damage.
But yeah.
Mind you, humans won't be doing that anyway. It'll be mechanized.
Yes.
Maybe human form robots. Maybe Elon's got a line for military about to come up as well. Who would do that sort of work anyway?
Indeed. But there you have it.
All right. Car brand tracking you. Not again.
Well, not again, but still. So a consumer advocacy group, Choice, from Australia, have found that a lot of popular car brands collect and share driver data ranging from braking patterns to video footage. They have noted that Kia...
Braking patterns?
Yep.
So well, you like, can I slam on the anchors too hard too much or something? There's something wrong with him?
Yes, that could imply that you're a crappy driver. Because... Oh,
okay. Yeah, or just hyper-cautious.
Well... That's up to the interpretation potentially of the car manufacturer or the insurance company by which the data is being shared with.
So you go to get your brakes done. And they go, wait on, we're looking at your braking pattern. They're about to tell something from the data.
Yeah, and certainly infer some things. So they've gone through, Choice have gone through the privacy policies of the 10 most popular car brands in Australia to identify which track their drivers and passengers. And they found that 7 out of 10 of these car brands contained the most concerning privacy policies that allow them to track driver data, their habits, and then sell that data to third parties. They found that Hyundai, Kia, who we talked about last week, and Tesla to be the most concerning.
Hmm.
So, So they are collecting voice recognition data from inside the vehicles, and then have been selling it. This is particularly with Kia and Hyundai because they've got the same parent company. They sell this to an artificial intelligence software training company called Credence,
Okay.
and they're not properly informing consumers about this kind of thing.
So if you've got a car model that sells in the millions, all doing this, that's valuable data, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Over a huge number of people.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow. Okay. Not surprised, though. Malvad VPN on Macs. Is that something, is it?
Well, yeah, it is. So this is about the version of macOS called Sequoia. So Malvad is a VPN provider. It's one that I recommend if you're out shopping for one. But Malvad have said that they may experience traffic leaks. So when you're using a VPN, all your internet traffic is supposed to go through the VPN. But they've discovered that Apple's own applications and services are excluded from this.
Oh.
So most of the internet traffic is going through the VPN, but Apple stuff, which is supposed to go down the VPN too, doesn't. It goes
So
out
what would that
direct.
be when you say Apple stuff, any Apple application?
Yes.
Okay.
And so when your MacBook is phoning home to Apple, it uses your regular connection and doesn't go through the VPN, thereby announcing to Apple where you actually are based upon your IP address, which then points towards a geolocation.
For understanding where you were while using the VPN. Yeah,
That's
okay.
right. And they have published a method by which you can check your Mac to see if your Mac has got this issue. It has actually occurred with other older versions of macOS as well. And they can't be sure, but it does stand to reason that if you're not even using the Malvad VPN, that it's still an issue with other VPN service providers.
Okay, sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it, really? If you're
Just a bit.
not aware of that. Okay. New Zealand Hearing Clinic massive data theft.
Oh, yeah, this is a doozy. This is labeled as an astounding privacy breach to do with contractors of Blume and its parent sister companies, Active Hearing Pty Limited, Clear Hear Audiology, Hutchison Audio Clinics, and WS Audiology, ANZ, and Widex Australia. And it's said in the report that some of the personal information of other individuals, such as healthcare professionals, other contacts, and vendors, may also be involved, including names, contact details, including email addresses, phone numbers, addresses, physician numbers, relationships of other contacts to individuals, and financial information of vendors, including bank account details.
Oh dear.
Oopsies. Well, the other issue around this is that there is data by which they were supposed to have gotten rid of, but didn't.
Oh, okay. Legacy data.
Yeah, so you sort of meant to keep data for a certain period of time, and then when it's past its usefulness, then
Delete.
you delete, and then you don't, and then hey, it ends up on the dark web, and then people buy it and then use that to either maybe even dox people or phishing scams, et cetera, et cetera.
Boy, when the tide goes out, what's the saying? You soon find out who's not wearing any
Any short,
togs or
any
any shirt.
talks?
Oh dear. Okay, that is big. Okay, we're back to, I'm going to say routers. We've talked about routers before. You pronounce that differently, and that's fine. And I think we're going over ground we've been over before, and that is the ability of routers to spy on you, but also the privacy policies that I guess they have plausible deniability through if you haven't read through them. So, more on routers starting from now.
So, I've always been an advocate of reading privacy policies. I know they're long and boring and typically really not exciting at all, but you might be was going to say informed, but no, you could actually be very confused by some of the wording that you read, because some of it is vague. It's very vague, whereby you're trying to find out what does a company do with my data. You're a router manufacturer, and they write their policies in such a way where it doesn't tell you anything, or what it does tell you has enough wiggle room. So if you read and go, oh yeah, they're not doing anything bad with my data now, but that doesn't mean to say that they won't later on. So as Bennett Cyphers, he is a staff technologist from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, he says that all the privacy policy can really do is tell you with some confidence that something bad is not going to happen. But it won't tell you if something bad is going to happen, because, of course, we know that privacy policies can and will change.
Yep.
So he did review some privacy policies by word count. And Netgear is the worst. About 6,500 words in their privacy policy.
Yeah, well, see, that's why no one reads it.
Yes. And
you could boil it down to just a few bullet points, though. Bulletproof bullet points, surely, like, we'll never sell your data, we'll never spy on you, use our product, have a great time.
That would be nice, but that would be kind of dreaming.
Well, they're admitting then that they don't do that.
Well, as a friend of mine, Marnie, sent some information, and because she's been going through the process of deciding what she can buy, and she's just settled on a Fritz box. With respect to the Netgear routers, the terms and conditions clause under user content and user content license, they write, and this is long, by uploading, transmitting, creating, posting, displaying, or otherwise providing any user content, you hereby grant Netgear a worldwide, royalty-free, non-exclusive, perpetual, irrevocable, sublicensable, and transferable license to A, use, distribute, reproduce, modify, adapt, make derivative works of, publicly perform, and publicly display such user content to the full extent necessary for the use of the product, and B, maintain a copy of the user content, including all related intellectual property rights for archive and legal purposes.
Wow, that means you're stripped of everything. Stripped of everything. It's like, I wish I'd read that later on.
Further to this, in Marnie's research, he came across, and we talked about the Netcom router a while ago when another friend sent me a copy of the leaflet that was in the box with the router.
Mm-hmm.
So someone on PBTech's website wrote, beware, this router harvests your personal information and sends it to an analytics company. This router collects detailed data on connected devices and sends it to an analytics company in Australia, which is not mentioned anywhere in the product description. Inside the box, there's a small piece of paper titled Data Privacy Statement for Netcom Wi-Fi Devices, quote unquote, that discloses this intrusive practice. There is no way to fully opt out, making the router practically a spying device. I contacted Netcom support and received a meaningless reply. This data collection is used to enhance your wireless experience using latest mesh technology.
How do you enhance the wireless experience? I mean, how's that enhanced?
Yes, exactly.
Like, my signal's looking great today. I mean, come on.
Brag about it. Any new mesh product using this technology will collect similar data. This explanation is nonsense, as I did not consent to have my data collected, nor do I need their, quote-unquote, enhancement of wireless experience. This is plain harvesting of personal information. The lack of transparency and inability to disable data collection raises significant ethical and legal questions about user privacy and consent. If you value your privacy, be warned that this product collects and sends your data to an external analytics company. Consider alternate routers that respect your privacy and offer clear options to disable data collection.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost worth creating the product to get the information.
Well, that's what they're good at doing.
Yeah, seems more that way round.
The way I approach this is I have a Linksys WRT 1900 router, which I've installed open WRT free open source software. You can get these pre-done There's somebody on TradeMe selling these with the software already on it, or you can do it yourself. You can also look out for alternative firmware to put in your router, provided it's a supported model. Look out for Tomato, Merlin, and DDWRT.
Okay. All right, just in the short time we have left, hydrogen. What is this, waste to hydrogen fuel plant? Is this a Korean thing again?
Yeah, so they are backing or placing their bets, Hyundai that is, on a hydrogen future. And so in 2021, they released information to the public that they were going to do this, and now they have launched the world's largest waste to hydrogen plant capable of producing over 30 tons of hydrogen annually. And it's the first...
Sorry, annually? Oh, mind you, it's a very light gas, isn't it? So the volumetric area there would be massive. Okay, I get it.
Yep. So it's the world's first facility to produce 500 kilograms of hydrogen per day using 60 tons of food waste to operate hydrogen cars in an integrated commercial manner.
I think hydrogen will win in the end. Do you?
Well, I see as well that it looks like BMW are looking into this again. I remember in the 1990s on Beyond 2000, if you remember the TV program.
Yeah, you bring it up every now and then.
I do. they were looking at liquid hydrogen in Europe, but clearly that didn't take off. Maybe they were a bit too early on that. But,
this is gas, though, is it?
As far as I can tell, yes, it is, because they talk about how they break it down with microorganisms and then it creates the biogas, and then the biogas gets upgraded to biomethane while taking out the CO2 and the impurities, and the biomethane gets reformed to become hydrogen.
It's like the knee bones connected to the whatever. I was just thinking that a full tank of hydrogen would make the car lighter.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's the other way around. Okay, no, I think seriously, I mean, what do I know? But it just seems that hydrogen's the way to go. Who was it? Toyota have come up with some kind of revolutionary engine, might have mentioned that before, which runs on hydrogen. But it's an internal combustion engine, so it's keeping with that. But it's, you know, water is the exhaust.
Well, yes, exactly. And I haven't looked into it deeply, but I've seen that the Japanese are looking at creating an engine which operates on magnetic propulsion, like the bit like the trains.
Yeah, the Mega something. Yeah,
Maglev.
Yeah, Maglev. And Airbus are trialing using their number one A380, actually, trialing a hydrogen turbine, aero turbine engine too at the moment. So you can see where it's pointing, and it's all that waste. All that waste is available.
Yep.
Yeah. Though, surely, low-quality, mass-produced food would yield less hydrogen, you'd think. So people will need to go back to eating more basic food to get the better transfer of waste to hydrogen. That's what I'm thinking now. So ultra-processed food, very bad for making hydrogen.
That might be a advertising tagline that they might use for the climate change argument, to say that you eat well, produce good hydrogen, save the planet, whatever.
Yeah, no, I can hear that. We're onto something. Yeah, you're doing your bit, right? You're doing your bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Another interesting Tech Tuesday. Thank you, Stephen, for dropping in again. We'll talk in about a week.
Sounds great. Thanks very much.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to, or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.